can be seated. Then we will start the puja chanting. Turn to page 1 of our new puja book. Finish the first 3 paragraph where we pay homage to the Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha. Now we start with the Vandana, homage to the Buddha. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Panatipata Viramani Sikapadang Samadhyami. Adinadana Viramani Sikapadang Samadhyami. Kamesu Michachara Viramani Sikapadang Samadhyami. Musawada Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Surameraya Majapamadatana Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Okay, now we will chant the Patipa Puja, offering of light. Ganna Sarapaditena Dipena tamadang sina di loka dipang sambuddhang pujayami tamo nodang ganda sambarayutena dopena hang sugang hina pujaye pujani yang tang puja baca namo tamang Vanna ganda guno petang etang kasuma santatin pujayami monindasa siri pada sarorohe pujemi buddhang kasumena nena punnena mattena ca hotu mokang Pupang milayati yata idang me kayo tata yati vinasa bawang adivase tuno bante paniyang parikapitang anukampang upadaya hatigan hatumutamang Adivase tuno bante pali parikapitang anukampang upadaya atigan hatumutamang Adivase tuno bante bojanang parikapitang anukampang upadaya Patigang hatumutamang Okay, we will now do the puja aspiration based on our understanding of their significance. Understanding the significance of offering of light, we shall make the following aspiration. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness of ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements with our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and fruits of our karma that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition sooner as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation and boundary nibbana. Making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers. Sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, except to those who have the conditions and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Give you a pay respect mindfully to Triple Jump. Vedang Pujimi. Dhammang Pujimi. Sanghang Pujimi. Okay, thank you. You can be seated. Oh, there is a sheet of paper, eh? The triangle chart. We will discuss this after. Eh? This is a very important appendix that explain to you clearly how your cultivation can be done. Earlier on, we went through the dependent origination twirling, Paticca Samuppada, to develop the understanding of how your mind arises depending on all these links, so that you understand how your mind functions, so that you understand clearly who you are, what you are, and how you function as a human being. Then after that, we went through the blue book on meditation, then the yellow book on developing awareness. Then today, after our meditation, I'm going to combine all this understanding and explain to you as an overall how you develop it through that understanding. I will also tie in with the three phases of Dhamma. Okay, there are still many copies left. Anybody who don't have, you can come and collect it. This one, when you understand, it will be very useful. Okay, now we can start our meditation. Anybody who is first time here? Oh, you're first time here? Oh, Sadhu. She knows Dhamma? She, or didn't go to Sunday school, so. Oh, okay, never mind, don't worry. The best is you don't know anything, then you learn very fast. Okay, I will give you some book. Pass me that book, the seminar paper, and the blue book, and the brown, blue, brown, and seminar paper. Then you can have a copy of the chanting book later. These three books is for you to read. The first one explained to you generally, but in a very detailed manner, what this Buddhist teaching is all about, and how it can help humanity like you. Then the other two books is about his teaching, the understanding of the essential Dhamma. Dhamma is the teaching of the Buddha. Then the other one, the blue book, is understanding the meditation as taught by the Buddha. Then there's another blue book, I think this one. This one also useful. This one is a different book. This one is based on one of the talk. So it should help you. The thin book, the first one you should read. This one is based on the seminar paper that I delivered in Bangkok, the year 2013. It was this Buddhist World Fellowship. It's a seminar, international seminar organized by the World Buddhist Fellowship, I think, in conjunction with a few organizations. And this one, the topic they asked me to speak on is very useful to understand how this teaching of the Buddha can benefit humanity in such a great manner, so that living beings can actually be transformed into something very different. Okay, now for the meditation, maybe for those who already know how to meditate, you can straight away start your meditation. For those who are new, I will give you some instruction to train your mind. You don't have to remember anything. Just maintain attentiveness to listen enough, because all the theory that you're supposed to understand is all in the transcript book. You don't have to refer to anything. It's all described very clearly inside there. So now you just maintain attentiveness. Okay, be off the light. According to the Buddha, he said, the reason why human beings' mind cannot meditate is because they have five very negative mental states that he called the mental hindrance. You look at the whiteboard up there. The first chart, five mental hindrances. Sensual desire, ill will, sloth and torpor, restlessness of mind, and what they call doubt, the last one. When you have five of these mental hindrances or mental states, it will hinder your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner mindfulness. That's why you cannot meditate. Because these are mental hindrances that make you heedless, think a lot, worry a lot. That's why you have restlessness of mind. When you have problem, you will have them. Then when you have a lot of fear, a lot of worry, a lot of anxiety, your mind is not peaceful. That's why it develops this restlessness. And these are hindrances. When you are restless, you don't have clarity. You cannot act. You cannot understand. That fear will drive you crazy, make you miserable. It will release a type of negative energy field that will make you miserable. Lack of peace. Then the other few hindrances you will come to understand later, because without the spiritual faculty, which is the opposite five, your mind cannot cope with this hindrance. It will continue to arise and it will become stronger and stronger. Then later on, through your heedlessness, if you continue to allow it to arise until it becomes habitual, then you cannot stop it. That's why our puja just now when we started is to develop the opposite five spiritual faculty: the wholesomeness of mind, the peacefulness of mind. When we rejoice, our mind has wholesomeness, goodness, there is this happy mind that rejoices in all of the goodness that you witness. People's sincerity when they come here, people's generosity when they make all this offering. You also rejoice in their faith when they develop this understanding. Then all this are very conducive for the good mind to arise. It will help you to overcome jealousy, envy, and all those things. Then later on, as you maintain the faith, we are contemplating deep into the understanding of who the Buddha is, how special a being he is. He is not only enlightened, but he is fully enlightened. You can say he is the wisest and the most virtuous living being ever to be born during his time. That's why to have such a great being to be your teacher and your guide, you have a lot of faith and gratitude towards him. Then he has this teaching which he called the Dhamma that can make you enlightened, can transform you radically so that your personality, your character all can become very beautiful so that you can be a blessing to all. Then from that moment onward, when you understand his teaching, when you awaken, you will have no more problem with life. There is no more suffering. So that understanding and that faith will drive you to cultivate the second spiritual faculty, which comes after the first one, which is faith in the Buddha and his teaching. Then the second spiritual faculty is virya. Then after virya, we develop the third spiritual faculty, which is mindfulness. That's why we make offering mindfully. We develop our perception of whatever that arises mindfully. We pay respect to the Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha mindfully. We chant with mindfulness. All these are very conducive for us to develop the training of the mind to be mindful. So our purpose of meditation here tonight is for those who already know how to meditate, who already has developed the spiritual faculty. You don't have to train your mind anymore. You can straight away go into the meditation, relax body and mind, silence your mind, and maintain awareness to meditate. But for those who are new and those who still have yet to develop their spiritual faculty, the mental hindrance will be quite strong. So you have to decondition this mental hindrance or heedless thinking. I will teach you a skillful means. We call it the mind sweeping method, combined with loving kindness to help you decondition the heedless thinking. It will bring about inner peace, leading to inner well-being. These are the first two very important byproducts of meditation. The mind sweeping method can make you very calm and very peaceful. Then the loving kindness can bring about inner peace and inner well-being. Then after that, when your mind is already deconditioned, more calm, more peaceful, then you use it to stabilize that calmness, that awareness within, the mindfulness within, via another skillful means which we call anapanasati, or mindfulness of the in and out breath. I will give you the instruction later. Okay, now you make sure you have a stable posture. Relax body and mind, completely relax. Make sure your backbone is straight. Close your eye, then maintain silence. Then you feel, use your mind to feel. Feel your forehead. If there is any tension, any tightness or any stress within your forehead muscle, just feel it soothingly relax. Relax, relax, and relax every part of the forehead muscle. Then you sweep your mind down to your eye muscle. Feel, don't think, just feel. Feel it soothingly, relax. Again, if there's any tension, any tightness, or any stress within, just relax them all. Because after a tired day, most of your eye muscles, they are quite tired. So you make use of this meditation, to allow it to recuperate, to relax into it, to feel it soothingly, relax, relax, and relax. Then you sweep your mind down to your facial muscle, feel every part of your facial muscle, every strand of it, feel it soothingly, relax, relax deep into it, feel it completely relax, relax, and relax. Then in order to assist you further, you can visualize yourself facing a mirror, radiating a radiant smile. When you can smile, you have joy, you have happiness. Feel the joy within you. Really, radiate that radiant smile. Just smile. When you can smile, you feel good and you are relaxed. Even naturally relax your facial muscle. Then after that, you recite after me the loving kindness. May I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. You must feel it when you recite. When you say, may I, this body and mind of mine, be aware of your body and mind, be well and happy, well and happy. Feel the well-being and happiness within your entire body and mind, your entire being, each and every cells within. Then you can continue to read it the same one or two more times. May I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. Feel the well-being and happiness within your body and mind. Then you continue to radiate this loving kindness. May too be without suffering, free of all mental and physical suffering. May too be free from all harm and danger. May its mind state still be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. May it keep itself happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within our hearts. Then you can radiate this same metta to all beings, especially your loved ones. May all my loved ones too be well and happy, free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. May they all too be free from all harm and danger. May their mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. And may they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be peace, may there be love, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. Then you can continue this metta to all beings within this vicinity, known and unknown, seen and unseen, and all fellow Kayaramita, cultivator and meditator. May they all to be well, happy and peaceful. May their mind states still be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. May they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May their form and mind too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering, free from all harm and danger. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. Then we can extend this loving kindness of metta to all beings within the whole of Subang Jaya, the whole of Selangor, Malaysia, Southeast Asia, Asia, and our Mother Earth. Then the whole of our solar system, then extending to our galaxy, the Milky Way, and the whole universe. May all beings within the whole of this existence be well, happy, and peaceful. May their mind states too be free from all harm and suffering, free from all mental suffering and physical suffering. May their mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. May they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. Right now, you should be more calm and more peaceful. You come back to your facial muscle, then you feel relaxed every part. Every muscle within your facial muscle and every part within, feel it soothingly relaxed. Then you move your attention now to your neck. Feel relaxed. Shoulder, do the same. Just feel and relax every part. Then you sweep it to your hand. Feel and relax every part. Feel them soothingly relaxed. Then back to shoulder. Feel relaxed. Then move your attention down to your heart or your chest area. This is a very important location within your body. This is where the seat of consciousness is. This is where your heartbeat or your life force arise and pass away. This is where a lot of things can happen. So you just silence your mind and feel. You can detect any vibration or you can feel your heartbeat. Then you just silence everything and stay there. Don't do anything. Allow it to be. But if you are new, not sensitive, you have not developed your mindfulness, it's okay. You can just feel and relax your heart area or chest area. Just like you relax your forehead, you just feel any tension, any tightness or any stress within, you just feel it soothingly, relax, relax and relax. Then you move your attention down to your stomach, feel, relax into it. Then move your attention down to your abdomen, feel, silence your mind and just feel, relax. Then you move it to your buttock, do the same, feel, relax. Your leg, feel, relax. Then you can sweep the whole of this mind sweeping method from your leg back to your forehead. Just feel and relax. From the leg, feel, relax, buttock, feel, relax. Then sweep it up to your abdomen, feel, relax. Then your stomach, feel, relax. Then your heart area, your chest area, silence everything and feel. Relax deep into it. Then you move it all to feel your shoulder and back to shoulder. Relax every part. Neck, relax, facial muscle, feel, relax, eye muscle, feel, relax, then your forehead, feel and relax. By now you should be more calm and more peaceful. Then we learn how to stabilize this calm mind, which is relaxed and mindful within. We are anchoring this mind's attention to our breathing. You feel your breathing in front of your nostril, like you feel your forehead. When you can detect the breathing, then like the Buddha say, breathing in, the mind is aware. Means awareness and mindfulness moves in harmony with the breathing. Breathing in, the mind is aware. Breathing out, the mind is aware. Allow it to be, just follow, don't think. Feel, detect, then mind and breath move as one. This Anapanasati, initially, if you are not familiar, it's not easy. You will come to realize within split second, the mind will wander off. And you are lost in thought very fast. Every time it wanders off, don't worry. Because the untrained mind is like that, it will behave that way. So you patiently bring your attention back to your breathing. Feel, allow it to detect, then follow. If you are patient enough, after a few minutes of training, you will be able to succeed to develop this anapanasati. Then when anapanasati develops, means you can develop the ability to be mindful of your in and out breath. When sati develops, means you are mindful without thought. Your mind becomes very peaceful, very calm, and you experience a type of spiritual calmness. They call it the meditative peace, piti. Piti is a spiritual joy, spiritual rapture, or spiritual peacefulness that arises when the mind is trained, when the mind is in sati without thought. You experience that piti, the spiritual calmness, or spiritual, what they call, peacefulness. Sometimes they call it the spiritual rapture. Then you continue to relax into it and allow this piti to become more and more refined. After a while, it will stabilize and become more quiet. Then this piti can transform and develop sukha. Sukha is spiritual bliss, a state that is even more refined than piti. When you can relax into it, piti will transform and become sukha. Then when sukha arises, do not attach, just allow it to be and feel, and relax into every mind state. Then breathing will transform from a normal breathing into very long, refined type of breathing. The whole lot of breathing can appear to be very clear to you. Just continue to train your mind this way until this mind develops the peacefulness within, the quietness within, leading to the tranquility or stillness. Finally, all of the breathing, everything will become very subtle. Everything will slow down. Then the mind becomes very quiet, very peaceful, very subtle. Then you will experience pasati. Pasati is a silent mind, tranquility of mind, stillness of mind. When there is no thought, when there is no movement, you just aware, silent. And this is the meditative mind. This is the silent mind that can meditate and develop the wisdom, the insight, and the understanding. Okay, I will let you continue your training. Then I will ring the bell after about 10 to 15 minutes. Okay. For those who still want to meditate, you can continue. For those who have not, slowly, mindfully, come out of the meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner mindfulness that you have developed. Then we will do the invocation to the devas. Turn to page 6 of your chanting book. I will read the English translation. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in the entirety, let the deities come here. Let them hear the good doctrine of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and releases Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the doctrine. This is the time to listen to the doctrine. This is the time to listen to the doctrine.
Samanta Chakvalisu Atra Gatantu Devata Saddhammang Muni Rajasa Sunantu Sagga Mokkhadang Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayam Badanta Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayam Badanta Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayam Badanta Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa
Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Iti Peso Bhagava Arahang Samma Sambuddho Vichacharana Sampanno Sugato Lokavido Anuttarao Purisa Dhamma Sarati Satta Deva Manusanam Buddho Bhagavati Swagato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko Akaliko Ehipasiko Opanayiko Pachatang Veditabo Vinohiti Supatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Uyupatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Nyayasatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Samichipatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Yadidam Chattari Purisa Yukkani Atta Purisa Pugala Esa Bhagavato Sakkasangho Ahuneyo Pahuneyo Dakkineyo Anjali Karaneyo Anuttarang Punyaketang Lokaneyo สาธิสาธุสาธุสาธุ Okay, we pay respect mindfully to Tripura Jaya.เปิดทางปุเยมิดัมมังปุเยมิสังฆังปุเยมิโอเคJust relax yourself, maintain some form of attention or mindfulness. Then we will start off with the next session. Like I said just now, in front of you, there is a sheet, appendix one. You will see a triangle there. This one will summarize to you the whole of the cultivation. Anybody who don't have this copy, you can come and collect.Everybody has one? Yeah, good, okay. Like I explained just now. Okay, two. I give you one more. Like I explained just now. So many. Okay, you'll go and pass it to the back. I think three or four more. Like I explained just now, earlier on, we went through the dependent origination or 12-link Paticca Samuppada explanation. That teaching will let you understand how your mind arises and passes away, how it functions.And through this understanding, you will get to understand who you are, what you are, and how your mind get conditioned into all those various mind states, and how your mind stir and become entangled. That's how suffering comes to be. How because of its wrong view, conditioning, the mind stir react to sense experience.Thus developing the craving to entangle, and suffering will follow. All our mental hindrance, like we explained just now, the five mental hindrance, they also arise because of your wrong view, lack of understanding. When you don't have the spiritual faculties, your mind is very weak. You will have delusion.And because of that delusion, which is self-delusion, it will give rise to wrong view regarding who you are, what you are. You will perceive yourself as an entity which is very real. That's why you attach, you cling, and that's how your suffering arises. Because the Buddha, under the teaching, he summarized all of suffering very clearly under the First Noble Truth Final Summary.He said, in short, all this suffering arises because of one thing, craving, born of self-delusion, sakkayaditti. Because of this self-delusion, it conditions you to grasp and cling onto your fine aggregate of form and mind, which cause suffering. That's why the Buddha said in the final summary, in short,It is through your delusion that condition you to grasp and cling onto this fine aggregate of form and mind that he called dukkha. That's why the fine aggregates of grasping, upadana khandas, they are dukkha. Then after that, the following Thursday, we went through this two book. Important meditation instruction needed to understandThe meditation as taught by the Buddha. This is a very good book. It will explain to you about the puja, everything. Then how to develop the understanding of meditation. Then how to cultivate and all those things. And there is also the yellow book on awareness. This is another one. Oh, yellow book is up there. Understanding awareness. Oh, sorry. This one is the talk. Never mind. I have. This one. Yeah. Understanding awareness. Oh, same one. Oh, yeah. How come that one's so thick? Oh, no. That one is a talk. This is a short transcript. I'm talking about a short transcript. Ah, yes. Oh, okay. Oh, maybe they fold it. Never mind, this one later on if you need. Because this one you must know how to meditate. This is based on a Q&A. We didn't really finish. I think a few more pages to go. We see whether we have time or not. If we have time, we will go to it. So all this will explain to you what this teaching is all about. Then, like I mentioned earlier on, cultivation of the Dhamma, there are three phases of Dhamma. So you can remember this chart. This one is in your Heart Sutta note, in the appendix at the back. This one is a very comprehensive chart to understand the cultivation. It talks about the three turnings and the 12 modes of the Four Noble Truths as proclaimed by the Buddha. Under the first sermon, the Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, immediately after the Buddha's enlightenment, he told the five ascetics, even he himself as a Buddha to be at that time, a Bodhisattva, he also need to cultivate this Four Noble Truths in his three turning and 12 modes in order to become the fully enlightened one, the Sammasambuddha. So what more for us living beings who don't have that type of parami? We also have to go through this. Under this three turning, you have the first turning, Suttamaya Panya, leading to the second turning, Wisdom, which is Chintamaya Panya. Then finally, the third turning, Bhavana Maya Panya. So these are the three phases of wisdom that will arise in cultivation. First turning refers to sutta, means the discourse of the Buddha. Sutta is the discourse of the Buddha. Maya Panya is wisdom, means wisdom born of the first turning, hearing of the sutta. Nowadays we are more fortunate. You not only can hear, you can even read about it through texts, through books, or the computer and all those things. Then last time there was no proper scientific equipment to record the talk or the sermon or the discourse. Nowadays we got CD, we got MP3, we even got recorder like what you all have received through every of this sharing. It can come in any form. Ours is Dropbox format. When you hear attentively, listen attentively, you can develop the understanding and it can trigger off awakening. Then the first turning can awaken you. Then that wisdom born of first turning, Suttamaya Panya, can arise. Just like during the time of the Buddha, one of the five ascetics, Kondanya, before he finished the first sermon, he already became enlightened. He was already a Sotapan. First stage of sainthood. Then the Buddha said, if after the first turning you still cannot develop the understanding, then you wait for the second turning. Second turning is Chintamaya Panya, means wisdom born of reflection, inquiry and contemplation deep into the Dhamma or teaching as proclaimed by the Buddha. After you have listened or heard about it, or read about it, then what you should do is, you should reflect, contemplate, and inquire deep into it. Why did the Buddha say all these things? How can I understand? And when you inquire, you can actually develop deeper understanding because you can stabilize what you have heard or what you have read through your reflection, contemplation, and inquiry. Then when you start to stabilize all this understanding, you can assimilate them into your nature. Through constant reflection, contemplation, and inquiry, you probe, you investigate into the Dhamma. You develop clearer understanding and stability of those Dhamma. That's how the second turning becomes very powerful. This Chintamaya Panya will prepare you like a base for you to receive subsequent teaching. It's just like you go to a class. First time you attend the class lecture, if the subject you are not familiar, you cannot understand. You have to go back and read it up, go to library, do research or internet nowadays. Or you discuss with your friend. Yeah, that's why we have Dhamma discussion. We have Dhamma sharing and all those things. Then you develop a deeper understanding of it through contemplation, reflection and inquiry. Then you basically develop deep contemplative wisdom or understanding. So that second turning wisdom can also awaken you if you have the parami or the path or the quality of mind that is needed for awakening. Otherwise, the Buddha said, it will stabilize your understanding and prepare you to receive subsequent truth so that you can awaken. Then you wait for third turning. Third turning is always about enlightenment. Third turning is the meditative wisdom. The Buddha called it Bhavana Maya Panya. Bhavana is meditation, means wisdom born of meditation. So this type of wisdom comes through the direct seeing that leads to the awakening. So this direct seeing leading to the awakening is very important. And this is meditation. This is cultivating Noble Eightfold Path, especially the Four Foundations of Mindfulness. When you develop this cultivation, you develop heedfulness. To be heedful, the Buddha said, you have to be ever mindful to cultivate the meditation as taught by him, which is the Noble Eightfold Path, with special emphasis on the Four Foundations of Mindfulness under Samasati, right mindfulness. So this training is very, very important. And the Buddha guarantee you, if you are heedful, the moment you are heedful, you are destined for enlightenment. Heedfulness is the path to the deathless. The heedful never die. Whereas heedlessness is the path to the dead. The heedless are as if dead. So this heedfulness, apamada, is most important. That's why I put on the whiteboard here. Most important. And heedfulness got two parts. First part is ever mindful. Then use this to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. For you to be ever mindful, you need to train your mind to be mindful first. Then stabilize it. Then only you can be ever mindful. And this one has to be in the midst of life, daily life. Not when you are in a retreat or in a form of meditation. That one is not good enough. That one is still a conditioned state. That one, unless you have your past cultivation, not easy to develop the real insight or wisdom. The real wisdom can only arise when you are mindful in the midst of life with a free mind that is not in concentration or in a conditioned state. The mind that has samadhi but not in apana samadhi. It is collected and unwavering, but it is not in concentration. It's a free mind. So this third turning, which is Bhavana Maya Panya, they can trigger off enlightenment anytime. Then actually when you are ready, even after the second turning, any of the first, second, or third turning can just trigger off awakening or enlightenment. Sometimes you just hear certain truth straight away the mind connect and awaken. Then there are many cultivators. Just because of one sound, one vibration, or certain phenomena that happen. Even Lady Arahant, one of them, she was actually mindfully pouring water to clean her leg. As she was doing it, because she was very mindful, then before this water moved forward and reached the end, she awakened to that reality and she became an arahant straight away. Yeah? So you can go and try and wash your leg. See what happened to you. It's not always the case. You have to be ready, your parami, because she was very mindful. And every phenomena has its characteristic. So when the mind is ready, it will awaken. All of a sudden, you will realize every phenomena has that characteristics. And that characteristic is so clear. That's why all of a sudden, the mind just awakens. Then sometimes because of certain sound and vibration, it will trigger. Then this mind, all of a sudden, become blank. Not really blank until nothing. Blank means completely enter silent. You know how Xu Yun Lao San awakened? Yeah? It was mentioned in his biography. You know how he became enlightened? Huh? You don't know. He was actually holding up the cup to receive this hot water, hot tea from the somebody, I think one of the monks, Novik monk, who was serving them. So this Novik monk was not careful. He poured the hot water directly into his hand. So what happened? He didn't shout. He didn't freak. He just, because he was fully aware during the meditation, he felt that tactile consciousness. Then the hand naturally released, understand not? Because it's hot. So the moment it released, the cup fell. And you know what happened? Upon impact, that cracking sound. The moment the hearing consciousness heard that cracking sound, he said space is like impoverized. You know what is impoverized? Yeah? Like a piece of rock or metal. Impoverized means it become powder. Yeah? Means space like disappear. That's why all of a sudden, the mind returned to silence. Complete silence. And after that, he just understand. He just awakened. That's why he said, no need to meditate. Go and get somebody to pour hot water on you. but not like that. The condition has to be appropriate. And you must have that understanding. So what I'm trying to explain is, meditation can be developed in various ways. And awakening can come anytime, but you don't go and expect it. The moment you have a thought that crave or desire for it, that craving will prevent it from happening. That's why when you are meditating, I use this word, don't try to know. Don't try to know. Don't even try to have this desire to awaken. When is my time coming? When is my turn? How is it going to happen? What is happening when you do all that? Your thought is active. How can space impoverize? How can the silence develop? Cannot. That's why you have to be patient. You have to just trust your nature and just to cultivate. Then silent, relax, and wait. Then when the wisdom has reached that level, the condition will arise. All of a sudden, it will trigger. Sometimes in the midst of sleep. You know how Ananda become Arahant? You know, can remember. The attendant of the Buddha. After the Buddha passed away, he was under tremendous pressure to become an arahant. Because he was just a sotapan, first stage of sainthood. So they told him, you cannot participate in tomorrow morning's first council. You are not an arahant. And he has to participate because he is the chief attendant of all the Buddha's talk and sutta. He can recite them itself. But because of the requirement, you have to be an arahant minimum. So Ananda was under tremendous pressure. He meditated day and night, non-stop that day, until almost the break of dawn. All of a sudden, he gave up. He said, no way. Then you know what happened. He was so tired, and he decided not to strive on for it. He just wanted to lie down and sleep and rest. As the body, the free mind, you know when you lie down, the bodily posture, before the head hit the pillow, he became an arahant. Then you will question the Buddha, why Buddha says strive on with heedfulness, he give up, he become arahant. Strive on with heedfulness is not to attach to meditation as well. Strive on with heedfulness is to develop constant awareness, means ever mindful to develop the cultivation, noble eightfold path. And when you develop all this, you don't try to know, you don't crave, you don't have the intention to become arahant. So when your mind is so strongly attached to this concept or idea of becoming an arahant, that craving will prevent you from awakening. He has all the Dhamma, he has all the understanding, because he has followed the Buddha for so long. He has all the conditions, but how come he cannot awaken? Because he has too much memory. And he hold on to too many things. He couldn't free all this. At the moment he give up, he is not holding on to anything. That's why the mind has got no more dwelling, no more attachment, no more clinging, no more craving to be enlightened. And during that time, it's a free mind. Then this free mind all of a sudden develop that silence. That's why all of a sudden it awakened. That's why you must know how to relax, silent, and just aware. Don't do anything. The more you try to meditate, the more you try to note, the further you are away from the silence. So this one is very important. Okay, that part I finish off first. Then after that, the Buddha summarized all of this under the three phases of Dhamma. He said when you come to cultivation, there are three phases of Dhamma cultivation. First, most important, he said, is to develop the first phase and understand it clearly. He called it pariyatti. Pariyatti is the learning of the teaching or the doctrine. That's what we are starting to develop and cultivate. Now that all this pariyatti thing is clear already, means you know how to meditate already. That's why you must meditate with understanding. If you spend more time on phase one and develop the understanding through the first, second, and third turning, you will develop this ability to understand his teaching. That's why I put here. Pariyatti involves the learning of the teaching or the doctrine. We are the first and second turning wisdom. Hearing the Dhamma as shared by someone who understands the teaching, then listening to appropriate Dhamma recording, MP3, CD, video, etc. Then reading of Dhamma book notes and online material as shared by someone who understands the teaching. Then during the second turning, you develop the Chintamaya Panya via contemplation, reflection, and inquiry into all this Dhamma as taught by the Buddha to develop further understanding via stabilizing whatever one has heard and read, then assimilating them into your heart or nature to set the base for developing further understanding later on via either first, second, or third turning. So this one is very important. The first two, contemplative wisdom. That's why pariyatti is very important. Then after that, the Buddha say you go on to phase two of Dhamma, pattipatti. Pattipatti is to put the teaching, that you have understood into cultivation, into practice, so that you can develop the understanding of it, so that this teaching can become a living reality in you. It's not just a theory or a concept or an idea or a Dhamma that you have developed the understanding. That understanding is not penetrative, not the awakening. It's knowledge. And most people are trapped in that stage, Dhamma knowledge. That's why when you are in the second turning, phase two, when you put into practice, because you have understood phase one, then you will benefit from that phase one understanding. When you meditate with understanding, you don't waste your time, you don't deviate, and you don't get into trouble. Understand? That's why it cuts short your training. Otherwise, I tell you, you can be led to Holland and don't know how to come back for eternity. Very easy to debate. Then you must know how to develop causes and conditions through vows, through aspiration. Otherwise, this way is very difficult. It's very easy to misinterpret and debate. That's why under phase two, I say phase two involves the cultivation of the teaching in daily life. We are putting the teaching into practice or cultivation to develop the third turning wisdom, which is Bhavana Maya Panya. Bhavana is the meditative training needed to develop wisdom via the former daily mindfulness and the four foundation of mindfulness. Having a good religious routine to develop the five spiritual faculty will help a lot, and need to cultivate until one is awakened to move into the third phase of Dhamma. That's why understanding is very important. When you understand that the reason why you cannot meditate is because of the five mental hindrances, so the first thing you do when you come out to develop the cultivation is to cultivate the opposite five, which is the mental faculties of Saddha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya. And this one we do through our puja, as advised by the Buddha. That's why you must have a good religious routine every day at home. When you wake up and before you sleep, do it. Then in between, when you're free, when you come for classes, do it. Then develop the spiritual faculty as you do. At home, you reflect and contemplate. As you chant the salutation to the Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha, you develop understanding of it. That will strengthen the faith, leading to the spiritual zeal, virya. Then when you do everything mindfully, pay respect mindfully, rejoice mindfully, make puja offering mindfully, then daily mindfulness, you develop your training of the mind to be ever mindful throughout the day. Then in the form of meditation, you need to train your mind, you train. That's how sati develops. Then this sati has to be carried out into the daily life to be mindful in the midst of life, so that you have that type of stability to be heedful in the midst of life. Otherwise, you are only heedful when you meditate. The rest of the time, you are heedless. And the Buddha said the heedless are as if dead. That's why people go in and out of retreat. They don't achieve much result. In the retreat, maybe some calmness, peacefulness, and so-called insight in inverted comma. Then the moment they come out, they realize within maximum 1 or 2 weeks or 3 weeks, they go back to square one. Their latent tendency, their whatever defilement within and their hindrance, they are still there. Because in the midst of life, they cannot maintain the type of mindfulness or heedfulness. So because of that, meditation becomes a problem. And these are spiritual faculty that can allow you to understand spiritual teaching. Without this spiritual faculty, you cannot develop the meditation. You cannot develop the cultivation. Okay? So this is phase one and phase two. And then only you get to reap the fruit of your hard work. Phase three, Pativeda. This phase is reaping the fruit of your cultivation, leading to the noble life. You get to live the life of a noble one, the enlightened one. Then here are the advantages. This is the most beautiful phase of one's life. where one can truly live life to the fullest, to experience all of the wonders and beauty of life. Life becomes much more meaningful and beautiful because there is no more suffering. Then your ability to understand life clearly will also arise. Hence, you will have a lot of joy, happiness, peace, love, and compassion throughout the day. Then via heedful living, one is able to experience all of the wonders and beauties of life while in this world. Then ability to always act righteously with wisdom, love, and compassion so that you can be a blessing to all. Then you are always heedful to live the noble life of peace, happiness, and joy. Hence no more heedlessness leading to all the unnecessary entanglement or suffering. Then you will be able to live in accordance with one's noble understanding. You act with understanding, no more acting according to your fear, your memory, your conditioning. Hence, no more worry, no more anxiety, no more fear in life. Then you are always ever mindful of your action, speech, and thought process. We are living the noble life of a noble one. Then understand precisely that this form and mind is not oneself, but only a karmically conditioned vehicle and tool for one to use to live this segment of our life in this world, so that you are not deluded by it. Okay? So with that, I will come to today's topic. Today's topic is very useful. You look at this piece of paper. Appendix 1, I put as Trinity. This chart was originally in the Dependent Origination book, because I added in as an appendix. But because at that time, people cannot understand, so I actually took it out. I omit this one, because at that time, people are not ready. And there are people who may have this idea of Christianity. You say, how come the word Trinity is there? You always associate Trinity with Christianity. God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Trinity. But this one got nothing to do with God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This one is just pure understanding of who you are, what you are, and what your form and mind is all about, and what your nature is all about. And from there, you can develop the understanding to understand life. Where is the magnetic thing? To stick this fellow. Or I put under this fellow. Okay, can. Work. Oh, then this duster can help me. Okay. You can see, up here in the triangle, what is this? C. Pure consciousness. What else did I write there? The oneness. Oneness. This is like the source, from the source. They also call it the essence of mind, the true nature or original nature, or the unconditioned, beyond thought, beyond time, and beyond mind, cannot be perceived or sensed. Stillness, the silent mind. This is your true mind. This is actually your primordial, the eternal mind. But this one, like I always explain, cannot come out to live life. Understand not? What do you need to come out to live life? You need this fellow. What is this fellow? Now no more tail. This is the segmented life, understand not? Segmented. Form and mind. Karmically conditional. for you to come to this world, this universe, to live life, to experience all of the beauties and wonders of life, but actually not for you to suffer. But because of your delusion, you come here to become miserable. Yeah, I will explain how you become miserable. Yeah. When there is wisdom, you need not suffer. When there is lack of understanding, lack of wisdom, you suffer. So this one cannot come out, understand not? Yeah? Can follow? You can call this by various names. Christian call it the kingdom of God. Then a lot of people call it the source. Then some call it the true self, the ultimate self or whatever. But that word is not important. You must understand what that thing is. That thing is not a person, not a personality, not an almighty God, not a soul or whatever it is. This one is beginningless of time, anasana. That's why it's original nature. You know what is penlightenmianmu? It means originally it was really like that. Means source of all things. From the source it arises. What is the source? The beginning. But there is no time-related one, understand? Because this is nature. Nature is in its purest form before creation starts. That is the source. And that one is not a place, not a location, not anything that you can describe or whatever, because this one cannot come out. That's why I wrote here, beyond thought, beyond mind, beyond time, cannot be perceived or sensed. Because it is the unconditioned. It's not of the conditioned world. There is no form, no mind, no thought, nothing, no word, no concept, nothing. You say nothing, and yet, from there, everything arises. That's why like the Tao. This is also the Tao, the Lao Tzu. He said, Tao ke Tao, fei chang Tao. Means what? The Tao that can be spoken, talked about, or defined, that is not the true Tao. Understand? But the second statement, like contradictory, is not contradictory, is it? But nothing is apart from the Tao. Then what is Tao? The Malay say Ta Tao. Cannot be known. So all this is the source. But from here, this form and mind that come is the vehicle that you need to come into existence, to come into this civilization or this world system or this universe. Without this form and mind, segmented form and mind, you know what is segmented? Every life you are born, you are one segment. Like this life, you have this human form, this segment. Then next line, if you are born as a deva, you have another form, am I? Then as a, maybe not so fortunate, non-human, peta, or demon, or even animal, what you don't know. But when it's an animal, you say, cannot be me. How can that dog be me? But when you're a human being, you say, yeah, this is me, I. Then you born deva, say, ah, oh, deva, I'm a deva, I'm a brahma. But you refuse to be a hungry ghost. But that's what you are when you are drawn there through karma. So this is the one that we start. Because this one, the form and mind, the moment it arises, it is connected. It is connected. Because this gateway here at the heart, this one is connected to this. This is the one that is responsible for the arising of this true karmic nature. That's why there is this spiritual nature. Then there is this karmic nature. This is the one that actually conditioned this form of mind through karmic nature. So this form of mind karmically conditioned out through the karmic nature. Okay, so these two. So this karmic nature create this form of mind. But this form of mind, when it come, this is the vehicle and the tool that you need to come. Without this, you cannot come. Vehicle means like a car that take you around. So this body is like a car. Wherever you want to go, it take you around. Understand? Then this one, the tool is the mind or the driver that drive this body. Yeah. It's called a tool because it allows you to use. But if you foolishly and deludedly use the tool wrongly, then it is your problem. Nothing to do with law or karma. That's nature's law. It's just like a knife. If you use it to cut fruit, shape fruit, do carving, so that it can be a useful tool for you to use, then it serves its purpose. Then you have wisdom. You know how to use that tool. Then it serves you well. But let's say you use that knife to harm yourself, to hurt yourself, to hit all at others and make people miserable, cause suffering. Is that the right way to use that tool? Ah, but precisely human being is using your thought that way. You use your thought to blame yourself, harm yourself, hurt yourself, make yourself fearful, miserable. You project your thought. You create so much wrong view. You blame everybody but yourself. And through that, you become very angry, very emotional, a lot of jealousy, a lot of hatred, a lot of envy. And all these are evil roots. Evil roots are root of all evil, make you evil. That's why you suffer. You become miserable. Then when you hit out at others, you hurt people through your wrong speech, wrong action, wrong thought. You blame, you accuse, you actually say a lot of very wrong things. You speak harshly, you backbite, you accuse people of all those things. Then you create a lot of hatred, envy, jealousy. Then you create a lot of stupidity by doing all the wrong things that make people unhappy, miserable. So when you use it wrongly, then this one backfire instead of a tool that help you and serve you. It trigger off a lot of harm, suffering and misery to you and others. That's how you fall. Through delusion, you don't know how to use it. So this is your vehicle and tool, and this one is not you. Not you. Because this is just a tool and a vehicle, karmically conditioned out for my mind, human being, for you to come to this world. So this human being is not you. Human being. But because of the nature's law, the consciousness that is trapped inside, there is a gateway where it can connect you back to this source or the pure mind, the true mind. But living being, because they don't have this understanding, they don't know how to cultivate, they don't know how to connect, they don't know how to live life from here. That's how they suffer. They live life from where? From the thought, from the brain. The brain. That's why they are most of the time here. At the five aggregate of form and mind. These are all in the notes here. This is the mundane thinking mind or conscious mind. Where the mundane consciousness is. Where this is your senses. The sense basis. Senses where your sixth sense door is. Sense basis. So this one, there is a body, physical body with the physical sensor, then there is a mind with the mind door, so the sixth sense door. So this five aggregate of form and mind following dependent origination, paticca sammuppada, dependent origination or paticca sammuppada, keep on operating at this level. That's why you are trapped at this mundane mind. Mundane mind or mundane consciousness. You forgot that you are part of the true nature, source, original nature. You have a true mind, you forgot. So as a human being, if you don't know how to understand that there are two aspects of mind in you, then you will have delusion. You will not understand life. You will not understand who you are and what you are. All the while, you will stay here. You will get yourself trapped at the thought level. That's why mundane mind or thought level. That's why you are always in the field of thought. That's why you meditate with thought, thought-based meditation. It leads to all the psychic field, everything within the field of mind and thought. You will be trapped here. You can never touch the supramundane. This one is the unconditioned, the other shore, the unconditioned. Or the supramundane. Or you call it the other shore, Nibbana. You fail to understand that there is this part that is connected to your nature. And because of that, you are always trapped here. And how does this nature get detected? Because as a human being, you have these five physical senses. So what happens is, every time there is contact, like the physical experiment, consciousness arises. Correct or not? Then you input the content through your views, opinion, and conditioning. That's why your whole of your brain, together with your mind, which is the sixth sense basis, or the sixth organ, they create a lot of thought consciousness. That's why you think a lot. You become heedless. So this one, because of delusion, develop heedless thinking. So here, a lot of heedless thinking. Sorry. This one, you develop a lot of heedless thinking. You think a lot. Because thought is response to memory. So this memory, together with the mind, create a lot of thought, a lot of thinking. And this one make you heedless, because you think a lot. You are not mindful, you are not heedful. What happens when you think? What happens when you think? What happens when you think? Can you be mindful? Can you be aware? Impossible, is it? For you to be aware or mindful, you have to be what? No thought. Understand or not? Silent. The moment thought is silent, you are already aware. That's why you can be aware of what is going on. Yet you are not doing anything. The moment you think, what happens? You are preoccupied. Preoccupied with what? With your mental activity. Understand that? Means you are preoccupied with what you think. Preoccupied with your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your problem. your attachment, your craving, because you are all caught there within the field of thought and the content. From a spacious consciousness, which is pure awareness, spacious pure awareness without a center, all of a sudden you focus and zoom into a thought. That's why you perceive, focus. Then you get yourself lost into that thought process. That's why Krishnamurti says, zoom. You zoom into a thought. And this thought is limited. You know how it's limited there. But the moment you focus, you start to perceive, then you create a thought, then you input the content. From a spacious awareness, you limit yourself to just a thought. That's why it's limited. That's why thought is limited. It cannot have awareness. It cannot understand things. This thought can note, very good at noting, and that is not vipassana. Noting is the thought noting another thought. It's not aware. Aware means no thought. Then whatever arises, the aggregate, it can be there at the moment of feeling, everything. There is nothing to note. The moment you note, it's a thought, noting another thought. That's why you say, anger arise already. I saw my anger. Who see the anger? The thought see the anger. You can see the difference or not? When you are aware of the anger, what happened? Your awareness and the anger is one. No movement. No concept, nothing. No one to be aware. And huzzah, the awareness is your thought. But you call it aware. It's not aware. If you are aware, means your awareness and the anger, the emotion become one, like in meditation. When you silent everything, like the Buddha said, don't try to know, just silent and be with it. Then what happened? The anger, the emotion will cease to be. The very flowering of that thought is the very ending of that thought. Because you don't give it any more mental energy, thinking energy. That's why it ceases to be. And that is awareness. Not, oh, I saw my anger. Not anger, anger, anger. You think that is vipassana? You create more thought. You try to suppress, you try to control, you try to do away. But what are you using? You are using thought. You are still within the field of thought. That's why you get trapped. You can never free. You can never come out. So this one create mundane living. Mundane living. It's written here. You see here. To create mundane living or experiences. So this particular one, when you don't know how to use your pure awareness, then you allow it to come down to the senses here and create mundane thinking. Mundane consciousness, the thinking mind, the mundane mind. And this is the one that causes your delusion and trigger off all your suffering, misery. And this is what the Buddha called suffering. Can follow, huh? So if you don't know how to use your pure awareness or your pure mind or your true mind, then this will manifest as consciousness. And this is condition arising. That's why the mundane mind is condition arising. This is the condition arising mind. Arising mind. So this mundane mind, a conditioned arising mind, is the one that create all of your mundane experiences or life. And this is the one that comes with suffering when you don't understand, when you use your form and mind wrongly. Thank you. When you use your form and mind wrongly, without understanding. That's why you have wrong thought, wrong view, wrong speech, wrong action. And all this don't have Noble Eightfold Path. You are heedless. You are not heedful. You think a lot. Heedless. Think a lot. That's why you cannot be peaceful. Your mental hindrances are all the while there. 5 mental hindrance, full. They are full. So here, no 5, don't have 5 spiritual faculties. That's why you will fall. Without all this, you will fall. That's why when you understand phase 1, pariyatti, you know that to meditate, you need to be heedful, aware, silent, peaceful. And then you know how to meditate. Then what is here? When you meditate from your awareness, when your mind is silent, quiet, without thought, you have the silent mind that will enable you to have the direct seeing. This silent mind is sati, or pure awareness. Understand that? So this one is your true mind. Or your pure awareness, or sati. That's why when you have sati, you are just aware. And through this awareness, you develop understanding. That's why this you is understanding. Wisdom. Because you can see things as they are. We are seeing things as they are. So this understanding, which is wisdom, will allow you to live life. Because when this understanding is there, after you meditate and you awaken, this one is living. You really live life, true living. So when this form of mind is connected with this understanding, then it's incapable of delusion. Then it will use the senses appropriately to arise the right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood, and the whole Noble Eightfold Path. And then you become beautiful. You live the third phase of Dhamma. Then these senses becomes non-grasping. This aggregate of form and mind, the 5 aggregate, become non-grasping. That's why it's pure aggregate without delusion. And that's how you awaken. Understand that? Now can follow. That's why you meditate using thought based at the senses. Sad to say, you can be in Holland for eternity. Really, don't laugh. And a lot of people don't understand this. They use the thought to meditate. That's why they teach you all the method, technique, and note this, note that. Focus, concentrate, and develop all the psychic energy. You know what I'm saying? Read mind. Go astral traveling. Go to all the various rhymes. You think very, very interesting, enjoyable. You end up having to pay for all this. Because all this is heedlessness, lead to karmic negativity, and lead to downfall. Well, when you do this, you are not heedful. Your mind is not silent. You cannot develop this wisdom and understanding. And without this wisdom and understanding, you can never understand life. You can never live life. You can never understand who you are and what you are. Can follow? Yeah. So I hope by today, yeah, you can understand this better. Okay. So far, any question? If you're still not clear, you can ask. Don't worry. Yeah. While I have a drink. Don't worry, you may not understand now, we are too deep for you. But later on, when you develop the meditation, you will start to appreciate and understand. Anybody got any question? Don't have. Yeah, you can pass her the mic. Where's the mic? There. Never mind, for the recording, otherwise they cannot hear you. It's for the benefit of the recording.
Brother Dew, when you are explaining, I have two questions in mind. When the two question is, What happens when a person awakens or enlightens? And how will a person know he or she is enlightened?
Okay. That is a very interesting question. So what do you think? What do you think? Because you have to find out. So from the teaching, what do you understand? What did the Buddha say about the teaching? What is this Dhamma? I remember this Joseph Goldstein. You know, the Kuai Lo. He together with Jack Kornfield, the pioneer, that actually went and learned all this Buddhist meditation. Then after some time, they came out and teach and they become teacher. Then people ask them the same question. Teacher, how do you know that a person is already enlightened? Well, I like the way he answered. He said, the enlightened being don't have a chop on the forehead and tell you, I'm enlightened. So how do you find out? That's why I read the salutation to the Dhamma. What did the Buddha say? What is this Dhamma? Pachetang, very good. What is Pachetang? Can only be realized by the wise, each for themselves, no? And you want to know. How can you know? When you are here, you want to understand here. You cannot. You have to touch here and realize through this. With this, then you can understand. The only way to check is what? This guy has this wisdom. But this form of mind is not him, understand or not? Even a Sotapanna will know it's not him. But this form of mind, because it has this wisdom, it will have no more suffering. It is no longer deluded. He will hold the Noble Eightfold Path. He is incapable of wrong thought, wrong speech, wrong action, wrong view. He will never have the egoic mind to delude him, get angry with you, argue with you. You want to be right. He says, so be it. He didn't lie. What? You want to be right, isn't it? So yeah, you are right. Did he lie? No, you right according to you. Because you say you are right. But right or wrong is relative. Right according to you is also right. That's all. To him, when you want to be right, he say, yeah, you are right. Because according to you are right. So he will not argue with you over something that is relative. Because right and wrong has got no meaning. It's a convention used by worldly people to understand worldly things. Right and wrong according to certain moral values. Certain belief system that you hold on to. But in reality, in life, the Buddha said there is nothing that you can call right or wrong because it's relative. Understand? You never ask right according to who. But when the Buddha teach the Noble Eightfold Path, you say, brother, he got right view, right thought, right? Yes, that one is right according to reality. Understand? Right according to reality means what? These are the truth. Understand? That's why right view according to reality. But this one can explain the way things are. This one is not right according to him. Understand? He never proclaimed this. He actually share all this with you. He said, I share my understanding with you. Because the Dhamma was already there, the Buddha said, before he arise. Before he even become a Samansambuddha. The Dhamma is already there. The truth is everywhere. Truth is the reality. Whatever that can explain the way things are is the truth. And this truth is. Means you cannot monopolize truth, understand? You cannot say, truth belongs to me, my religion. There is no such thing. That's why they use the word truth is. This word is very important. Truth is. You know what is this? Isness of thing. The reality, suchness, understand? Means not your truth, not my truth. Nature's truth. Understand? Whatever that can explain the way things are is the truth. So we don't have to argue. Understand? And you don't have to write to be right or to be wrong. Anasara. Be right and wrong is a convention. You understand that statement in there? People are just the way they are. Why? Deluded people say deluded things. Angry people do angry things. Selfish people do selfish things. So they are just the way they are. There is nothing right and wrong about what they do. Anasara. To you say, hey, how can he do this? Huh? He has been so unscrupulous. He has been so violent, so greedy, so selfish. That is according to you. To him, no. Because he said he is right. Because these people did this to me. Now I take revenge. Anything wrong. That's why all relative. You argue among yourself right and wrong. But the Buddha say, thing is just the way it is. No right, no wrong. That's why you see things as they are. No right, no wrong. That's why no duality. The moment you have duality, you suffer. You want things your way because you defend what is right. Your belief system, everything, your conditioning. Then you want to hold on to that principle. That's why in the Buddha's time, there was a famous story. There was a very wise person who wanted to come and challenge the Buddha. You remember? Yeah, this person, I remember if I'm not wrong, is Sariputta's mother's brother. In the early days, I think Brother Deva Noah. You heard about this story? Sariputta's mother's brother. Oh, I know, I tell you. I heard from Reverend Suvanoa. You see, this brother, before Sariputta was conceived, all the discussion and debate with the sister, he will win on. Until in the whole village, nobody can beat him on. He's very good. But the moment the sister conceived Sariputta, the brother lost to him. And he's still not convinced. No. He go and study some more. No. Study all the Hindu teaching, the Vedanta, everything. No. Then later on, Sariputta already grew up, chief disciple of the Buddha. Then he came and challenged the Buddha, no, officially. And you know what he did or not? He started off with, he said, he wants to challenge the Buddha. Then he want to preempt the Buddha. No, he said, I got no principle. Means I don't hold on to any principle. Understand? Then the Buddha smiled. He said, okay, agreed. Then the Buddha asked back, no, is that your principle? He was caught, no. Where you say, I hold on to no principle. And that is always a principle. Just like those in one-pointedness. Huh? I got no thought. Correct, no thought. We are everything fixed at one point. But who say no thought? Your thought say no thought. That's why it's still a thought. When you are in one-pointedness without thought, but that thought that is held and freeze in concentration or ekagata, one-pointedness, will say, I got no thought. Because it perceives it. And that one is still a thought. That's why no thought is still a thought. When there is really no thought, you don't say anything. Because there is nothing inside there. It's just aware, silent. And that one is really no thought. When there is something to manifest or express, that has to be the thought. What else can it be? And when you say, I got no principle, means what? The Buddha asked him back, is that your principle? He finished. That's why he lost. That's why he walked away. He said, yeah, now I'm convinced that you are the fully enlightened one. Because he actually studied and prepared himself so well. He thought he will win already. Because I hold on to no principle. Means I don't attach to anything. Whatever you say, my mind is free. But the Buddha asked back, is that your principle? He straight away got caught. Yeah. So when you don't understand mind, you don't understand thought, you will be trapped. Yeah. So now coming back to your question, what is it that you want to know? You want to recognize an enlightened being when you are still here? You cannot. The only way is for you to realize yourself. That's why this Dhamma, Ipachetang, can only be realized by the wise, each for themselves. That's why I used to tell you all, you no need to check with anybody. if you think you are enlightened and you want to get somebody to confirm and check or read up the book to confirm and check, I can tell you 100% not yet. Because this one, the moment you awaken, the you is the form and mind. The form and mind will understand one. He will go through the cessation. He will understand this one, he know you, he know me. Then that cessation is very powerful. That awakening, that understanding, that insight into the characteristics of nature, that even the one moment of cessation for sainthood is already so powerful. That's why the Diamond Sutta explained very clearly. And the best way to check is what? Like that day I answered Yingbi's question. First, you have to be on the path. Isn't it? What is path and what is non-path, so you don't know. And you think you're enlightened. Path means the enlightenment factors are there. Understand or not? Seven factors are enlightenment. One also don't have. And you expect to be enlightened. You say, oh, I got one jhana, one jhana. Sati also you don't understand. Without sati, how can you investigate Dhamma, the second enlightenment factor? That's why without sati, you cannot develop the very strong faith, because you cannot investigate into the Dhamma. When you investigate and the Dhamma stand up to investigation, then only your faith is very strong. Then only it drives you to cultivate. That's why virya, the third enlightenment factor, will arise. Understand not? Then when virya arises, what happens? It will spur you to cultivate. Understand? That's how you will develop sati, samadhi. Then you will become very different. Then you will have a lot of joy, a lot of happiness. That's how piti arises. When sati is there, your mind without thought, you become very calm, very peaceful. Piti arises. Then you continue to relax into it and silent. Then piti develops sukha. If you don't attach, you continue to meditate on it, then it will become very quiet, very still. Then the silent mind will arise. The meditative mind will arise. That is pasati. That is the one that can see things as they are. Then when your mind is in pasati, it's already very stable. It can be silent in the midst of life. That's why it can develop samadhi. Then it can see things as they are. That's how it insight into phenomena and awaken. Then when the universal characteristics of impermanent, suffering state and non-self is understood, you develop the last factor of enlightenment, upeka. Upeka, born of wisdom, equanimity of mind. Then you will no longer hold on to duality. Then you understand things is just the way it is. Because you can see things as they are. Because no word, no concept. Nothing to create duality or description. The suchness of thing. Thing is just the way it is. But because of mind, the Buddha said, mind is a forerunner of all things. When mind arises, everything comes to be. That's why all of the five mental hindrances, the three evil roots, the division come from mind. Because you create through words, through concept, through views and opinion, through your conditioning. And then all this become real. All this become like what you think. That's why your mind is the forerunner of all things. Mind is chief. When mind arises, everything comes to be. That's why the world arises. So that part is very important. More important is for you to develop the faith, the understanding. When your faith is there, you only have to use your own, what they call right understanding, to actually develop the understanding or develop the faith. Because like the Buddha, every time you contemplate on his nine great virtues, and when you come to understand who he is, what he is, and when you understand his teaching, what will happen to you? Your faith in him becomes unshakable, isn't it? You will have a lot of respect and gratitude towards him. So if you can judge him, why can't you judge all those cultivators who has the Dhamma? They will be able to teach you the same thing, understand? Develop the same virtue, the wisdom, the understanding. They are not the one that has the evil roots, the delusion, the egoic mind and all those things. So it is only through observing them you develop the understanding. If they still have delusion, craving, if they don't hold on to the Noble Eightfold Path, the right understanding, then they are still very deluded in their approach to things. And then you can tell yourself, these are the teacher that I cannot follow, because if I do that, I will be led the same. But if I observe that they are different, they hold the understanding to the teaching, they can explain to you things that can benefit you. And when you follow, you cultivate, you can transform. And that can become a living reality. And then your faith becomes very different. It's just like when you investigate into his teaching and you stand up to investigation, it will strengthen your faith because it's no more belief. Okay? Yeah. What's the time now? Oh, 10 more minutes. Okay, maybe I try to read this one to you. For new people, this book is very good, the brown book. The Essential Dhamma of Lord Buddha. This was spoken at the house Dana, Brother Sia and Nancy's house. Oh, then before I forget, this note, you all should thank Pamasuri. She just got it from me through email at 6:10. And he got it printed and photostat for you all. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. She should reimburse through the Kairamita Fund, but we rejoice with her sincere effort to help us print it out. Okay. I will read to you the first part. Oh, Ingbi, this copy is for you. You asked me to write something. I forgot. That day I must have written it already. Then I kept it in my bag. Oh, I passed to you after that. This was 31st October, my birthday. Okay, the preface you read yourself, acknowledgement you read yourself. This is about the importance of precepts, or virtue. The Essential Dhamma of Lord Buddha, based on a direct transcript from the recording of Brother Theo's Dhamma sharing, held at Brother Sia and Sister Nancy's house, Dana, dated 20th June 2015. Introduction. Just relax yourself, get yourself seated, and maintain some form of sadha, virya, and attentiveness. Attentiveness is very important. Attentiveness is silent awareness before the knowing, which is sati, or mindfulness. Understand? Not? The moment you're attentive without thought, you're already in sati. Don't try to be mindful. Don't try to go and know, thinking, thinking. The more you do this, the less mindful you are. The moment you're attentive without thought, you are already in sati. So when you are attentively listening without thought, that is true listening. Correct or not? When you listen to a lecture, you go and think and comment and inside they say, how can it be like that? This teacher don't understand. I tell you, you are not listening at all. Is that not? Or you have doubt. Correct. My teacher don't teach like that one. No. How come this one talk like that one? Means you are not listening. You are commenting, verbalizing, judging. You are not developing the silent mind to listen. That is what we call the art of listening. When you listen without verbalization, without chattering, without any reaction from your knowledge and memory, that is the silent mind listening. This is meditation. Understand? When you chatter a lot, comment a lot, judge a lot, full of knowledge, memory, and dhamma, then you will comment a lot. Then you cannot learn. The Zen say, your cup is full. Understand? Whatever tea pour in also flow out because it cannot receive anymore. You just listen with an open mind. See? You don't have to agree, understand? But just listen with an open mind, silent mind. Then whatever you listen, you can absorb very clearly because you are not reacting. You are just listening. Then if it is something not in accordance, you will also understand. But you will not prejudge, understand or not? You allow that person the honor to speak and you listen. Then if it's not in accordance, after you listen, you will understand. But you will not prejudge him. So Dhamma is about learning how to silence your mind more and more and to be more attentive. The moment you are attentive, you are already aware. So why can't you be more and more silent throughout the day? Even when your children scold you, nag you, argue back, silent, listen. Then you understand them better. Then you smile. Oh boy, how are you today? If your thought keep on holding on to what he say, this fellow, I'm your parent, you bo toa bo say, you say all this to me, then you also lost yourself. You become like them. You think you very, very elderly. Then you say, I eat salt more than you eat rice. You always want to make yourself like, you are smarter and wiser than you. But if you are smarter and wiser, he will not behave like that. But because you didn't train him, that's why he become like that. And if you have that understanding, you should thank him. I got many students who tell me why not. Matthew, you are right. My kids are my best teacher. You understand? He said, nobody else can make me so angry and miserable except this monkey. He said, he called him monkey. He said, especially my elder one. He said, that guy is so cunning and so nutty. Ask him to study. You shout until the cow come home, he also won't study. Then he said, next year, sitting for Form 5, and then going to overseas. Don't even know how to wash his own clothes and shoes. How would I expect him to go overseas? I say, the more fear you have, the more suffering you have. I say, you have to trust him. He will learn. If he is so deluded, he cannot survive. We offer generation how we learn. We also come down without anything. My parents also don't know where University Malaya was. And how to come down also, I don't know. I had to find out. That's why we learn ourselves and we survive. Okay? Okay, 5 more minutes. I'll read a bit more. So today, before we start the Dhamma sharing, we would like to once again thank the host, Brother Sia, Sister Nancy and family for hosting this wonderful house dana for us all to have the condition to come and partake in all this wholesomeness. And together, we can also have this rather meaningful gathering of Kayanamitas. Come fellowship, shall we rejoice? Then the next one is Dhamma sharing by me. 2.1, precepts and virtue. I would like to thank all Kayanamitas who can make it to be here today to partake and rejoice in all this wholesomeness. At the same time, we can learn to develop more of these good mind states, which are very wholesome and virtuous. Virtue is very important. Virtues are your goodness, your kindness, your gentleness, your whatever good mind states. They constitute wholesomeness. A person who can keep his precept has virtue, because he has no negativity, or he is incapable of negativity. If you are a virtuous person, you will have no wrong thought. That is why you cannot violate your precept. You cannot kill, you cannot harm. You cannot deceive, cheat, or commit sexual misconduct. And you cannot give rise to inappropriate speeches that can hurt and harm people. You will not consume intoxicants that will make your consciousness very low. And because of that, the Buddha said, keeping your precepts or cultivating virtue is the source of true happiness, true spiritual wealth, and true spiritual peacefulness. The monk will chant this in Pali for you to understand after having administered the 5 precepts. They will chant. This one we will do at the retreat, the Pali one, so that you can develop the understanding of keeping precept or virtue. The monk will chant, or the person who lead you to renew your precept. Imani pañcasika padani. The meaning is, these are the five precepts. Huh? Pancha is five. Silena sukanti yanti. You always hear about this on spiritual trip. Here means, virtue is the source of true happiness. Sukanti yanti. Sukanti comes from the word sukang. Source of true happiness. Silena bhoga sampadan means virtue is the source of true spiritual wealth. Silena nibuti nyanti, virtue is the source of true peacefulness. Tasma silang visote, therefore let virtue be purified. That's why it's very important to purify your mind and to keep your precept or virtue. Hence, keeping precept can bring about a lot of happiness and a lot of joy in you. You must learn how to develop this happiness and joy. Sadhu is rejoicing in the wholesomeness of others. When you are able to witness them doing all this wholesomeness, you rejoice by saying sadhu. You can rejoice in other people's generosity, sincerity, and faith, seeing how they help prepare all those offerings. All this can lead us to a lot of wholesomeness. There is a lot of synergy too, because for cultivators who understand, they not only rejoice, but they will radiate their pure wish. And in return, all those who have partake in this dana offering will also receive all these merits. Just like the monks, if you support them, they support you back in kind, in the form of dhamma sharing, via their understanding. They will rejoice. They will help you invoke the appropriate pure wish. Then they will also chant for your blessing and teach you the Dhamma. In return, you receive spiritual wealth. So that is why the Buddha said sila or virtue is not only the source of true happiness, it is also the source of great spiritual wealth. Spiritual wealth is wealth that cannot be taken away, not like materialistic wealth that can disappear. Spiritual wealth is accumulated within the spiritual nature. And when you connect via your meditation, it will support you all the way. Then when you keep your precept or virtue, you will have a lot of mental peace. That is why it is the source of true peacefulness, the serene, calm, and tranquil mind. The mind will have little or no restlessness and problem, because when you keep your precept, you don't harm, you don't kill, you don't cheat, you don't deceive, and you will not do all those wrong things. Hence, you will have fewer problems, less fear, less worry, and less anxiety. That's why I always start with sila. Then only samadhi kick in. You don't have to confront civil society's law like police case and all those crime-related issues. And because of that, you can sleep well. You don't have to worry about people coming after you to take revenge. You are more peaceful. If you violate your precept, you will have a lot of fear, worry, and anxiety. Then when negative karma ripens, they will condition you into a lot of suffering and misery, causing your mind to become restless. That's why there is no peace within, and you become heedless. But once you keep your precept, your mind becomes more peaceful and calmer. That's why it is the source of true peacefulness. True peacefulness can bring about a good mind state, a lot of good mind state for you to develop the meditation. That's why after cultivating sila, samadhi will kick in. Then samadhi will give rise to wisdom, which is panya. That's how the cultivation come about. Understand? Then sila, samadhi, and panya. This one you got to read yourself. This is a very good book to understand the teaching. The teaching is very direct, very simple. But when you understand its significance, you will cultivate differently. You will understand the importance of precept. Precept can give you so much wholesomeness, so much virtue, so much good condition to meditate, so much merits and blessing, and you don't know how to do. You think, why bother? The Buddha make life difficult. You want to lie, you cannot lie. You become like miserable. Wow, so difficult to keep precept. Especially salesmen. Many salesmen tell me. He said, but still I'm a salesman. You tell me to keep the fourth precept. It's like killing me. Then ask them not to drink. No, say business, I got to entertain. No, how can I not drink? A little bit of wine can I? You ask yourself, don't ask me. And all this, you have to develop your own understanding. It's not me, it's your life, how you want to live. If you don't value your life, you don't treasure your life, you can do anything you like. And then you end up here. And then don't come and ask, why me? But why like that? Why so much problem? Why other people don't have problem when they go through that way? Why only you have this problem? Because you refuse to go that way. You think precept is a nuisance. You want to be free. You talk about democracy, freedom of speech, freedom of what you can say, what you like. Go ahead, be heedless. Freedom comes with a price, understand? Freedom comes with understanding. When you have understanding, only you know how to act. Then only there is a freedom to act. The free mind can act, not the deluded mind who think there is freedom to act. When there is wisdom, then that free mind can act, because that mind is free, but it is wise. That's why it will never violate the nature's law. It will never arise a wrong speech, wrong action, wrong thought. It will always abide by that nature's law. That's why this form of mind still got a duty for you to do. Okay, we better end. okay, we better end. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. We'll do our sharing of merits then, transfer merits. Then we invoke the blessing for the nation. Then you can make your aspiration. Sharing of merits with the devas. Akasata cha bhumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditva jirang rakat tuloka sasana. May all beings inhabiting space and earth, devas and nagas of mighty power, share these merits and may they long protect the dispensation. Itta vata chamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhya. May all beings share these merits which we have thus acquired, and may all devas rejoice, and may it contribute greatly to their well-being and happiness. Transform merits to departed one. Idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Let this merit accrue to all departed relatives and all those who can receive them. And may they all too be well and happy always. Now we will invoke the blessing for the nation. Devo asat kalena sasa sampati heto cha pito bhavatu loko cha raja bhavatu dhammiko. May the rainfall in due season, may there be a rich and good harvest throughout. May the world be peaceful and prosperous always. May the government. May the government, the king and the rulers be righteous. Okay, now you make your aspiration. Ipmina punyang kamina mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patia. By the grace of these merits which we have thus acquired, may we never follow the foolish, but only the wise and the enlightened one, until Nibbana is realized. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha.
Thank you. Anybody left this here? Can we take it?